Praise the Lord. We're glad that you're here today. Amen. Amen. I know you're not North American. There are... Jason is over here giving props for North Americans, right? I'm sure on Thursday, I'm sure they're going to be baking a turkey. Is that right? You're going to be gathering together? You will not be. You will be eating. Okay. I think Sam might be involved in that as well. And if you are Canadian, so the two Canadians are not here this morning. They celebrate their Thanksgiving on the second Monday in October. Theirs is earlier because it's colder in Canada than it is in the U.S. So this is a Western celebration. But the Lord's been talking to my heart about having a thankful heart. And I think most, if not all cultures have some type of harvest or Thanksgiving time, right? All cultures have this. And so I want us to look at this morning, because although we are North American or Chinese or Filipina or one other or any other, a wide variety, we are this morning, first of all, we are God's people, and God has a lot to say about being thankful. As I was preparing, I had, don't be scared, I had 18 pages. 18. Crystal, how about if I have a 5-part, okay, for 18 pages? And I said, Lord, I had all sorts of negative examples about the children of Israel and how they were always grumbling. And maybe we'll talk about that sometime. But I thought, as I was praying, Lord, what do you want to say to us? The Lord steered me in another direction. So we want to talk this morning about being thankful and about giving thanks. As I was thinking about this, I don't know about Canada, but in the U.S., it has become more and more common to refer to Thanksgiving as what? Turkey Day. Turkey Day. I hate that. I hate that because it does away with the whole purpose of the gathering. And so as I was thinking about that, I was thinking, okay, as people of God, as God's children, what does God have to say? Really, really, what does he have to say to you and to me about being thankful and having gratitude in our hearts? And as I was preparing, I found out, I really saw more than ever before, there's so much in God's word. He has a lot to say about being thankful. And he also has quite a lot to say about not being thankful, about being a complainer or a grumbler. We're not going to look at it, but when I was reading through about the children of Israel, you know what it says? The children of Israel, they complain against Moses, but you know what it says? It says, God heard their grumbling. God heard their complaining, and he didn't like it. He didn't like it. And so this is important to God, and so if it's important to God, it should be important to us as well. So we're going to look at some very simple things this morning that you know already. I think these three short stories, you will be familiar with all of them, but let's see what the Holy Spirit says to us this morning. So let me start off in a lighter way, and then we'll get a little more serious. Some of you, if you are students of the Bible, you might know of a Bible scholar, a Bible commentator who lived in the 1600s, and his name was Matthew Henry. And he wrote, and some of you are nodding, right? He wrote a commentary, huge commentary of the Old and the New Testament. So if you were to read it, you'd go, oh. But he was a very godly man and very scholarly. He began learning and reading and writing Latin when he was, are you ready for this, 9 years old. That was the language. That was, if you were educated, you read Latin, you spoke Latin. It's when he was 9. And as he was very godly, and as he grew up, he preached in many areas, and he started writing commentaries on the Bible. And one day, he was robbed. True story. Okay. This showed up later in his diaries after he was gone, and it was found in his diary. One day, he was robbed of his wallet, or where he, I don't know what they called it back then. Anyhow, his wallet. And that night, in his diary, he wrote four things for which he was thankful and grateful that day when his wallet had been stolen. And he said, God, I thank you. I'm giving you a modern translation, okay? That I have never been robbed before. Second, although they took my wallet, they did not take my life. Third, even though they took everything, it wasn't very much. And finally, God, I'm thankful that I was the one who was robbed and not the one who was robbing. So, okay, that kind of fell flat, but I think that's pretty funny. I really do. And he was truly grateful for those things. So that's from a human perspective. But I want us to, so let's look at some things this morning. And this story you know really well. We're going to see, what does God say in his word about being thankful and not being thankful? So the first one is found in Luke 17, and it's the story many of you know of the 10 lepers that Jesus heals, and then only one of them comes back to thank Jesus. Do you remember that one? Okay, Luke 17. So look in your Bibles, and we'll look at it up here as well. Okay, so let's just look at it together. So while he was on his way to Jerusalem, by the way, verse 11, while he was on his way to Jerusalem, this is actually the final trip that Jesus is making to Jerusalem. And once he's in Jerusalem, he is there going to be crucified. This is the trip while he's on his way to Jerusalem. This is also the trip when he goes through Jericho and he meets Zacchaeus. This is also the trip where the blind man is by the road and cries out loudly, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Same trip, okay? So he was on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. Some Bible translations will say who had serious skin diseases. Those things were put together, okay? They stood at a distance, and they called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. We're going to talk about Thanksgiving, but I want us to get the picture this morning, because this is not a parable. This is not an example. This is a real story. It really happened. Although it was 2,000 years ago, these 10 men were just the same as we are. They were 10 men who were isolated because of their sickness. At that time, according to biblical laws, if you had leprosy, you could not go in among people. You were physically dirty and clean and unclean, but you were also ritually, you were sort of spiritually unclean. You could not fellowship with other people in the temple or the synagogues. You had to stay away for your protection, but also for others so that they wouldn't get sick. And it was a horrible, horrible, it was a horrible life. You weren't supposed to keep your hair combed. You were supposed to let your hair hang loose. You were supposed to wear old, messed up clothes so that people could see that you were a leper. So your need and your sickness was open to everyone. Now, look with me at this picture again, because they were supposed to do one other thing. They were supposed to cover their upper lip, which to us seems a little bit strange, but how many of us have worn masks when we are sick or coughing or have a little fever, right? Mercy, do you have yours right now? Oh, Edralyn has hers right now, right back there, okay? And many of us have. It was the same thing. They would cover their upper lips. Now, get the picture. And they were supposed to shout loudly, unclean, unclean. And that meant stay away from us. We have leprosy. We are sick. So get the picture with me. Now notice they were on the outskirts of the village. They couldn't go into the village, right? There were 10 of them. What? 10 of them? Why would 10 be together? Because they weren't welcomed by other people. And so if they were sick and had skin diseases, they would just be together. That was the only fellowship or community they had, other people who were like them. So imagine their lives, and they're standing at a distance. They don't even get drawn near to Jesus, but they know that this man can help them. I don't know if they believed he was the Son of God or not. They don't say what blind Bartimaeus said. Remember what blind Bartimaeus said? Blind Bartimaeus said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Son of David meant he knew this is the one sent from God. These men don't even say that. They say, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They believed this man named Jesus could help them. Get the picture. They were supposed to be shouting, "Unclean, unclean." And instead, they shouted, "Have mercy on us, have mercy on us." What a touching and wonderful picture of people who know Jesus can help me. Jesus can help me. And they call out. There are sometimes, brothers and sisters, our problems, our situations, our difficulties isolate us from other people. Is that not true? Sometimes we may have financial difficulties. Sometimes we may have other illnesses. Sometimes we may have mental or emotional difficulties. And that happens in life. This is part of life for many people. How often do you see people backing away and backing off? "I don't want to be around someone like this." That is not how Jesus is. And they call out to the one. And let's look at what Jesus does. Now we're talking about Thanksgiving, but this is all part of the story, and it's a beautiful part of the story. When Jesus saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were what? Healed. They were healed. When he says, "Go show yourselves to the priest," why did he say that? Why didn't he touch them? Was Jesus afraid that he would get leprosy? When Mom and Dad were in Singapore many years ago, leprosy was still quite common, and perhaps in some other countries as well. And if you had leprosy, you could not be out in society. You had to stay in a leprosarium or a leper colony, as it was called. And so they had invited some people to pray who were supposed to go in to the leprosarium, and people who were great healers and people of great faith. They'd come from the U.S. And so they went in, and Mom and Dad had gone in there before and prayed with people. And I still remember the story. I won't even say the name of the person. He went in to this leprosarium, this leprosy hospital where all of these people were, and he got about 10 feet away from them, and he held out his hand like this. "Oh, God, heal this person." Now, they weren't healed. There wasn't a lot of faith, but there was a lot of fear, right? What if I catch leprosy? Was Jesus afraid? No, he wasn't. Because if you'll remember, if you go back to Luke 5 earlier, there's another time when a man who has leprosy falls in front of Jesus and says, "Oh, Jesus, have mercy on me. If you can heal me if you will." And the Bible says Jesus had compassion, and he reached out his hand and he touched him, and he said, "I can be healed." And he was healed at that moment. So Jesus healed in different ways, right? In this way, I look at this and I think, well, Jesus, how did you do that? Well, he was Jesus. He doesn't even say, "Be healed." does he? He just says, go show yourself to the priests. Why did they have to do that? Because the priests were the ones who would then, David, they would examine you from head to toe to make sure your skin was clean. And then they would say, oh, you are cleansed. You're clean. Now you can rejoin society. And so the priests were the one that had to do that. Now, the priests couldn't do it. The priests didn't have any healing power. They didn't have faith in Jesus or really didn't have faith in God. But Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were healed. Okay, this word healed, you'll see it four times in this story. This word healed means cleansed. I don't know what Bible translations you have. They may just use the word healed, but this is really important. That's why I highlighted it, okay? So this word healed means they were cleansed, which is the perfect word because that would be what the priests said about their skin condition. Oh, you're cleansed. You're clean. You can rejoin society. So as they went, they were healed. So Jesus just says, go. They respond in faith. We could say so much about this, couldn't we? Sometimes Jesus, the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, speaks to us, and he tells us something that doesn't even seem like anything, right? It's not a big thing, but he prompts our hearts. And the difference happens if we respond in faith and obedience. These men, 10 of them, obeyed and they had faith. It was both. This one that we've asked, have mercy on us, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. Okay, let's go. And on the way, they looked, and as they went, they were healed. Okay? The healing of God in our lives is just amazing. Sometimes there's a great, be healed! Yeah, it's a big thing. At other times, it's just so gentle. It may be step by step. It may be gradual. Let God work in your life in whatever way he wants to. Don't make God work the way you want him to work, right? Let him do what he wants to do in your life. Just say, yes, Jesus. Just say, yes, Jesus. He wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Okay, let's go on with the story because we have two more stories after this. Okay, what happens next? One of them, there are 10, okay? One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. Now, look at that. He's praising God. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet and he thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Now, why is that important? Because Samaritans and Jews weren't friends. They kind of hated each other, you know. And so one of them, when he saw he was healed, okay, here's the word healed again. This word is a different word this time. It's not the word cleansed. It's the word cured. So to be cured of an illness. Okay, so it's your Bible probably just says healed, but it's a different word. And that, so cleansed is the word that the priests would use. Cured is what happened when the disease was gone, okay? So when he saw he was healed, imagine that. Let me ask you something. Think for just a minute because we're talking about Thanksgiving this morning. Have you ever asked, I know you have, you've asked God to do something. You've been praying about something and then the answer comes. And sometimes it takes you a while to realize God has done something, right? Or God is doing something. I wonder if that's how it was with this man. When he saw he was healed, I mean, did it happen step by step as he was walking to the priests? Or was it all of a sudden? We don't know. But he looked and he saw, I'm healed. I think for a lot of us, there have been things we've prayed about in our lives. And one day we look at our lives, we analyze ourselves, we may consider our emotions or our thoughts, and we realize this problem I used to have, I don't have anymore. I'm cured. I'm healed. I'm cured. I don't have time to tell the story this morning, but I'll remind you of this. The woman in Singapore that, and mom, maybe mom can tell the story again because she experienced it with the woman who had gone through postpartum depression that was so great that she was put in an insane asylum, in a mental ward for many, many years. And then as she and was just crying all the time. And then somebody gave her a Bible, and as she began to read over and over and over again, she was gradually cured. She was gradually cured. Didn't even know when it happened, but one day the doctor said, "You're well. You can go." And this is how God works sometimes. So what does he do? And here's what we're going to focus on. He came back praising God in a loud voice, okay? He threw himself at Jesus' feet, and he thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. We're going to talk just a little bit about expressions of thanksgiving. And then we're going to look at a psalm very quickly. Some of you are quiet people. Some of you are not quiet people. Some of you are extroverts. Some of you are introverts. Guess what? God gives no different directions for extroverts and introverts. He gives the same directions to extroverts and introverts, as we're going to see in just a minute. So he comes back, he throws himself at Jesus' feet, and he thanks him. It's a very extravagant, overflowing thanksgiving. Okay, what happens next? Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed?" So there's the third time. That's the same word again, right? So cleansed. "Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" God notices when we are thankful and when we are not thankful. I'll be honest with you. There are things that I've prayed about, and sometimes God answers, and I'm just, "Oh, great, this is whatever." I overlook and I forget to just, "Oh, God, you answered this prayer." I've spent so much time praying for the answer, and then when the answer comes, maybe I spend 1 minute, "Thank you, God, praise the Lord, it's great," and then I go on my way, right? Oh, that we would overflow in thanksgiving in the same way that we overflow in prayer in our needs as well. Now, here we go. Here's the end of this story, and then we're going to look at a verse. "Then Jesus said to the man, 'Get up and go. Your faith has made you well.'" Here's another word. Here's another word. So the word healing is used, cleansing, cured, and now Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well." Do you understand that? What does that mean? Because weren't the other 9 also made well? Weren't they made well? They were healed also, right? They were healed, but they didn't come back and thank Jesus. What's the difference between the 9 and the 1? Here's the difference. When Jesus says, "Get up and go, your faith has made you well," this word "well" is different from the other words. It does not mean cured. It does not mean cleansed. It does not mean healed. It means you have been made whole. Body, soul, and spirit. This word is the word that Jesus used that also means you have been saved. That's this word. This word means saved. You've been made whole. Oh, thank the Lord. The others were cured. The others were cleansed. But the one who came back in a real step of faith, in a real trust, in a real, "Oh God," and poured out to God the thanksgiving of his heart, responded to Jesus and responded to God. And not only was he cured, Not only was he cleansed so that his physical life could go on, but spiritual life had come to him because of his response. And Jesus says, and Jesus looks at him and says, you have been made whole. You have been saved. This is one of the overflows. Now, does it mean if we're especially grateful and thankful, we will be saved? I'm not saying that at all. But what I do want us to see is in this example, the person that responded to the Lord with open heart and came back to him, it showed a heart that was open to Jesus. Because you know what? There are a lot of people that want God to help them when they're in trouble, but they don't want anything else from God, right? I don't want my life to change. I want to live the way I want to live. I just don't want to have this trouble. And God is looking to make us well, body, soul, and spirit. Amen? Amen. Okay, let's look at one other example. I want to read from Psalm 100. In relation to this, okay? So we're just going to look at verse 4, but I was thinking about this. If you look in your Bibles, Psalm 100 is one of the Psalms that is called, it's a Psalm of Thanksgiving, if you look at Psalm 100. Now, the titles are not inspired, okay? But if you looked in, for example, NIV, a Psalm for Giving Thanks, okay, and these were added at a much later date, but it is a Thanksgiving psalm. And you would know most of the psalm, but all of us would know verse 4. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. He's made us. We're his. We're his people, the sheep of his pasture. I was thinking about this. This psalm is an introvert's nightmare. If you're a quiet person, right? Listen, what does it say? Shout for joy. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. It's really, really, really loud, okay? And then we come to verse 4. And you say, whew, okay, verse 4 is okay. Because Kathleen's not very, sorry, I'm just picking on her. She's sitting there smiling. I know that Kathleen is not a loud person, even though she plays the drums. Okay, she's not a loud person. But what I want us to see is this. Here's the point from this. Here's the connection. Here's this leper who was cured and cleansed and who came back with a loud voice, who fell on his face before the Lord and was thanking him for what he had done. It was a very outward expression. And what I want to challenge us with is this. A lot of us have thankful thoughts. And we have thankful hearts, warm feelings. What I want us to see is that that's good, but there is also the place for outward expressions of thanksgiving. That's what that leper does, and that's what this verse talks about. Look at what it says. This is what this verse we know so well. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Okay, all you introverts. Are you ready for this one? This is for all of us. Take a look very quickly at verse 4. So verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Here is a movement towards God, right? We're coming towards God. And then it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Okay, are you ready? How many of you find it hard to raise your hand and towards the Lord and praise the Lord? You want to raise your hand right now? No. Okay, thank you, Ying. Thank you, Crystal. Okay, so we've talked about this before, right? There's that word, yada, remember, that says to lift out your hand. Okay, you ready for this? Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Guess what that word thanksgiving means in Hebrew? It means hand outstended, hand extended outward to the Lord. That's what it means. Literally, physically, it means this, and here's the other meaning. It means a thank offering. A thank offering. So here's the picture. We come into the Lord's presence, whether it's Sunday morning or whether it's in our own times, and we come with an openness to God. We come with an openness to God. We don't come with nothing, just asking. But I come with a thank offering. God, you've kept me. God, you've been good to me. Now, those of you that really find it hard to have outward expressions, I encourage you, do it at home. Start there. I was listening to a sermon the other day, quite a well-known pastor, and he was really an introvert. He was a wonderful pastor, but really, really restrained. And he said he was praying at home, and he said he felt the Holy Spirit say, dance. Dance. Now, I don't know what you would think if you felt the Holy Spirit say, dance. And so, and he was just a, not a shy person, but really an introvert. And so he thought, oh, but he wanted to be obedient. So he was at home alone, and he closed all the curtains in the house because he didn't want anybody to see him, right? True story. And he felt like the Holy Spirit said, dance, as a response to the Lord. So he stood there, and he said, finally, he went. And that was what he did for dance. He said, and then he did it again. And then after all, he just kind of did it back and forth, back and forth. Now, I don't see how that's dancing, and some of you would laugh at that. But remember that the Bible also says, make a joyful noise, right? And so who cares, honestly, folks, who cares what other people think? Really, who cares what other people think? Express your thanks to the Lord. Express your gratitude to the Lord. So with thanksgiving means literally an extension of the hand or a thank offering. And it says, enter his courts with praise. That word praise means a loud hymn to the Lord. I mean, really, it's a loud hymn to the Lord. And then this says, give thanks to him. Oh, you know what again that is? That's the hand outstretched. And praise his name. Uh-oh. Are you ready for this one? This one's really hard. If you have a hard time, if we have a hard time doing this, how would you feel about this one? I'm going to do my best. I'm not as young as I used to be. That word, praise, is also translated bless. And do you know what it means literally? It means to kneel in adoration before the Lord. That's what it means. That's what it means. I want to encourage you at home or in Lighthouse. Lord, help us. If there are times when you feel I should kneel, if there are times when you feel I just want to prostrate myself before the Lord, what better place than the house of the Lord? And shame on us if we look at others and we think, huh? May we express our hearts to the Lord. Amen? Amen. Okay, two more very quickly. Ready? This one you already know. You know it, so we go through this one quickly. This is when Paul and Silas, so the first one is Jesus and the 10 lepers and the one who comes back. Here, very quickly, very briefly, is here are Paul and Silas in prison in Philippi. Remember, they have just healed through the power of Jesus. They have just delivered, they have made whole a young slave girl who was demon-possessed. What a great miracle. She was set free from her torment. Can you imagine what it must have been like to have been inhabited by a demon or demons who controlled her, and then people who controlled her for the power that the demon gave this girl? And Jesus sets her free, because that's what Jesus does. He does not want you to be bound. He does not want you to be limited. He does not want you or me to live in fear or in torment. He wants us to be free. And not only does he want us to be free, he is here to set us free. If we will say, Jesus, have mercy on me. This is what he does, and this is what he came to do. So through the power of Jesus, she is healed. The response is not what they hoped for. They were stripped. Well, that would be embarrassing. And beaten with wooden rods. And by the way, that's really, really, really beaten. They would have been flogged. Their backs would have been bleeding. Their skin would have been torn. It would have been a very horrible, not just like, oh, you're so bad. It would have been really horrible. Then they're thrown into prison, and then he puts them in the inside prison, and their feet are in stocks. So we've talked about that. And I love, we know this so well, so we're just looking at this quickly. The best translations, look, verse 25. The best translation will say, but at midnight, but around midnight, the most accurate. Some translations will say, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, okay? But the most accurate translations say, but around midnight. So they were bleeding, bloody, broken, bruised, you name it, but around midnight, they were praying and singing hymns of praise to God in prison, and the other prisoners were listening to them. So we know this story so well, right? We know this story so well. The prison was shaken, a massive earthquake. The doors flew open. The chains of every prisoner fell off. Okay, we know the story, so we don't need to say much more about it. I want to give you a verse that goes with this, and it comes from 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Look with me. In fact, shall we read it together? In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In every thing give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In other words, it is God's desire for God's people. Are you one of God's people? Yep. It is God's desire that God's people, whatever situation and whatever circumstance you are in, that you give thanks. Imagine, here are Paul and Silas in prison, all messed up. They were messed up doing God's work. And here they are in prison, and they're praying and they're singing hymns of praise to God. They're not thanking God for prison. They're not thanking God for the beating. They're not thanking God for this stinky situation that they are in, or the shame of being publicly stripped in front of other people in the marketplace. What are they doing? In everything. Not for everything, but in everything. And this word in means in a place, in a situation, in a time. And it has to do with where you are now. What you and I are going through now. The difficulties that we face now. Ty did not know I was going to preach this sermon this morning, but her testimony this morning was, I thank God because he is still faithful no matter what we face and the troubles and the trials we're going through. And Ty has been very open about the financial difficulties that she and her family are going through now. But in everything, we give thanks. We give thanks. Remember what Joseph said when his brothers came to him and they said, Old Testament, oh, Joseph, we're sorry, please don't. Do you remember what Joseph said? Joseph said to his brothers who had betrayed him, we talk about horrible things that were done by his brothers. The brothers did it. And Joseph said, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good so that lives would be saved. Thanksgiving for you and for me is, let me back up, an expression of trust in your sovereign God, who is a good God, who will do what is good in your life, who will never fail you nor forsake you. He may not answer when you want him to answer. He may not answer in the manner in which you and I would like him to answer, but he's faithful and he's good. And in everything, I can say, God, I thank you that you are in control. I don't understand. I don't know how. I can't whatever. But I trust you. That's what Thanksgiving does. That's what Thanksgiving does. Amen. Amen. Okay. The final one. There's a lot more, but the final one, very quickly. And this is the example of Jesus. Very quickly. I'll bet you haven't, maybe you haven't noticed this before. Jesus in the feeding of the 5,000. Ready? We know the story, right? It's found in all the Gospels. They have 5 loaves. They have 2 fish. But how far will it go? Ready? Here we go. Now you all are thinking, Pastor Jen, this is just about Jesus blessing the food. This is just about Jesus saying grace for the food. Stay with me because we're talking about Thanksgiving. Jesus says, have the people sit down. There was grass. They sat down. There were 5,000 men, but there were probably about 20,000 people altogether, probably, women and children, right? And then look at verse 11. Here it is. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed. I want you to see the picture. Here's Jesus, and he did the same with the fish. He took the loaves. I'm just going to use this for example. He picked up what was absolutely insufficient for the need. It was so far beyond what would feed people. What he had would feed one little boy. That was it. That was a lunch his mom had packed him. 5 loaves, 2 fish for a young boy. And Jesus, in great need, here's the need. This is all he has. What does he do with what he has? Not, oh, God, there are 20,000 people. What will I do? No. He thanks God for what he has. Are you able? Are you and I willing to thank God for what we have, for where we are, in the midst of 20,000 hungry people, if you will? That's what Jesus did. And out of that, God multiplied. Okay, one final verse. Are you ready? You may not have noticed this before. Here's the last part of the story. And that's why I think this is meaningful to us. And Panina's going to lead us. I think we may not have time for private testimonies, but we're going to have time to respond to the Lord in worship this morning. Okay, have you noticed this part of the story? That night, Jesus and his disciples, they get in the boat and they go on to the other side. The next morning, other boats come. They're looking for Jesus because he fed a whole bunch of people with almost nothing. Read with me. Look with me at what it says. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the other side of the sea knew there'd only been one boat. They also knew that Jesus had not boarded the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone off alone. That was when Jesus walked on the water, right, in the storm that night. Now, look with me at verse 23 and tie it together as we come to a close this morning. Some boats from Tiberias came near the place where they ate the bread. What does it say? After the Lord gave thanks. After the Lord gave thanks. Have you noticed that before? He doesn't even talk about the Holy Spirit prompted this. The Holy Spirit doesn't even say, where there was the great miracle that took place, 20,000 people were fed with enough left over. That's not even what the Holy Spirit prompts John to write. Instead, what does the Holy Spirit have him write? Near the place where they ate the bread, after the Lord gave thanks. Our thankfulness matters to God. Our thankfulness makes a difference in our lives. Our gratitude expressed outwardly is marked and is noted by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Can you and I, will you and I, in the prison, bloody and bruised, or in the face of great need, where there is yet no answer, give thanks to the Lord? Will we? Amen. Amen. Panina's going to come lead us in the worship team. You may sit or you may stand. This is how we're going to close the service. And we're going to sing about the faithfulness of the Lord this morning. And this is going to be our response. Probably I'm going to let you maybe stand because you've been seated for a while, right? And I'd like you, as we're singing, as the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about giving thanks and having hearts of gratitude, just to respond to the Lord this morning. And Panina, you just lead as you wish.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire, and darkest nights you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend. I will of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
Thank you, Lord. You have been a good God.
Father God, I thank you for your heart. I thank you that you first loved us. You sent your one and only Son to die for us and rose again on the third day. I thank you, Lord, that your grace and your mercies are new every morning. I thank you, Lord, for this great city that you've given to us. May we be your light and your testimony to this city. I thank you for this Sunday, and I pray, Lord, that you would use us to be your hands and your feet, extended to those in need. Lift up our eyes. May we see those around us that are hurting and dying. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance and grant you peace. That peace that passes all understanding. May it flood your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Everybody said,